Okay, recordings are started. Thank you.
Good morning. At this time.
Go ahead, Cordero.
And at this time, this call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 19th of November, 2014. On the call today, we have Cheryl Langdon Orr, Ann Aikman Police, Olivia Kwame, Jonathan Frost, and J. Scott Evans. I show apologies from Amr Elstar, Tom Barrett, Chuck Gomes, and Alan Greenberg. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Karen Lentz, Barry Cobb, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state their name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, J. Scott.
Thank you very much. This is J. Scott Evans for the record. First thing we always do on these calls, after the roll calls, we ask to see if anyone has any change to their statement of interest. I guess I would be the only one who does, and I'll make sure to go in and update that on the wiki.
Thank
and that I have. Hello? It's that I have been elected to as president of the International Trademark Association. I start serving in that role on January 1. So I'll make sure that gets updated. Next, I want to dive right into the IRT Principles Guidelines draft that was considered on the call last week by the group. I think Cheryl was on the call and Olivier was on the call, but I don't think Jonathan or Ann were on the call. But this document has been circulated, and the red lines that you see before you are those changes that were made from the rough draft that was presented to the team by staff based on comments given to them during the call. And it's been circulated. So the first thing I would ask is those that were on the call last week, if you see anything in these red lines, if you've had a chance to review it, that you believe is not reflective of the conversations and discussion last week. If so, I'd like to raise that now and work through that. If not, I would ask that everyone who has not had a chance to review this document, doesn't have a point to make at this point, to understand that we're trying to move along the timeline that we set for ourselves in LA. So I would ask that any comments or thoughts that you have regarding this language be submitted to the list no later than close of business Pacific Standard Time on Friday. I believe that's the 21st of November. Okay? So that's the plan. If you have comments of the language now based on what you see and you participated in the call last week, you have a comment or question, let's talk about it now. Or if not, if you haven't had a chance to review, I would ask that you review and any comments or thoughts you have be presented to the list by no later than close of business Pacific Standard Time on Friday, November 21st. Okay, now I'm going to scroll down to Roman numeral 5. I'm sorry, did someone say something?
Coming.
Is that Olivier? Yes, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
But it's okay for me. It's okay for me.
Yes, Anne.
Thank you, J. Scott. I just had a really quick question for those on the call last week because I didn't get all the way through the recording, and that is regarding the deletion of the liaison provision in Roman numeral 1E. There was a talk. Just wondered about the reasoning on deleting the GNSO liaison to the IRT. Is that just because it would be discretionary at the time, or...
Yes, Mary.
Thanks, J. Scott, and thanks for the question, Anne. I think if you look further down in what is now Section 2, a similar provision has been inserted there as part of the topic of IRT composition. So hopefully that's helpful for your information. And I can look back through the notes to see if there's any additional thoughts on that. but it is there. It's just in a different place.
Just in a different place. Okay, thanks, Mary.
No problem.
All right, any other questions or thoughts? Okay, let's move down to Roman numeral number 5. It's IRT operating principles. Now, if you'll see on our agenda, that seems to fall in line with many of the bullet points that are listed there. So I'd like us to, people to take a time, let's give ourselves 5 minutes to read through the language that's there, and then we can discuss this, okay? And we'll give everybody about 5 minutes, and then we can discuss Roman numeral 5. Okay. Now, before we get started, I see that Karen Lentz has joined us. If she would just give us a brief overview of what these principles are designed to take care of, and then we can jump into our discussion here on the call. Karen, would you mind doing that for us?
Sure, J. Scott. Thank you. And I actually missed last week as well, so if I miss state or leave something out, anybody can chime in. But the idea of this document is to have some operating principles for how our IRTs work, particularly relating to advance notice of milestones and, sufficient time for people to, for the members to be able to review and respond to and discuss documents, transparency in terms of the operations, recordings of calls, and all of that. There was a discussion a few weeks ago in relation to point D about, how staff should handle it when there's not, there's kind of low participation either from, some or all of the group members and how that should be addressed. So we've added, first of all, as a matter of principle, you want to, find out if there is a easy cause that can be addressed, but how to, signal and communicate how the work is proceeding in that instance. And then E relates to the scenario where there is a lack of agreement or where it seems that there is an issue, an implementation issue that may need to be escalated to the GNSO. And this is something the group has been talking about in terms of contemplating having a set of steps that can be followed when that happens, which is not in existence, but the idea here is that there is a framework for, you know, how to have those discussions when that happens within an IRT. So that's section
okay.
5.
Okay. Thank you very much, Karen. So let's look at 5A. This is basically, all of this stuff is basically just sort of, this is J. Scott Evans for the record, I apologize. This looks like, you know, meat and potato stuff, but it's the kind of thing that it needs to be laid out so that we know that the process is being followed and that everyone's getting the appropriate notice, and that when situations arise that might be difficult or prickly, we know how we're supposed to handle them. So the A says, meetings of the IRT are scheduled by the GDD project manager in a timely manner. The GDD product manager is expected to circulate the draft agenda to the IRT ideally at least 24 hours in advance and will send out the call-in details to all members of the IRT. Now, I'm going to take the chair's prerogative and ask the first question. Karen or someone from your team, when you say ideally, does that mean at a minimum at least 24 hours in advance?
I don't know exactly if that word was added for a reason after last week's discussion either. But yeah, I mean, I think that the idea of a principle is you have an expectation that should be a, I mean, I don't know if we need the word ideally, actually. If we're saying as a matter of principle you want to give 24 hours notice.
I mean, I just, at a minimum, at least 24 hours notice sounds like better language to me. Because ideally it's a waffle word, but at a minimum I know exactly. And that just means it could be 48 hours in advance, but at a minimum, it'll be at least 24, correct? So I think we just plainly say that. Mary, are you raising your hand?
Yes, I was, J. Scott. And, you know, we may not need to include the language, but I was just actually looking back through some documents. I think where this came from as well is the GNSO's method of working, say, through the working group guidelines, for example, where we also have this expectation that the agenda will be sent out 24 hours in advance. But I don't think that's a hard and fast rule, so I think that's where it came from. So
yeah, sure. My point is, I think that 24 hours is fine, but I think it should say at a minimum at least 24 hours rather than ideally. Ideally doesn't really have any meaning to me. Anne?
Yeah, just very quickly, is it clear that that means with the materials, the agenda and any associated materials for review, like if there's an expert report or something like that?
Well, it doesn't say it, so it obviously isn't clear that that's what it is intended. So if that's what's intended, is that it will be, you know, the agenda and any materials you need to do the call, we should put that in there.
Thank you.
Mary, is your hand still up, or is that a new hand?
I'm sorry, that was an old hand. I'll take it down.
Okay. All right. I see that Cheryl Langenor is in agreement with that discussion. So the two changes I see here is to remove ideally in the second line and insert at a minimum at least 24 hours, and then to insert that it would be a draft agenda and any needed materials. Okay, so 5B, there is a presumption of full transparency in all IRTs with at a minimum a publicly archived mailing list and a recording of all IRT calls. In the extraordinary event that the IRT should require confidentiality, it is up to the IRT in coordination with staff to propose a set of rules and procedures. Any comments, concerns? Again, this is Jay Scott. Jonathan Frost.
Jonathan Prof. I agree with the principle.
You need to speak up a little bit.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yep. Much better.
Back to my phone. All right. This is Jonathan Frost. I agree with the principle of it, but the way it works is there is a presumption of full transparency. It's a little ambiguous between IRTs will be presumed to be transparent and the IRT shall be operated with transparency unless a presumption is overcome. So I think maybe it should be reworded to be a little bit more active so that that ambiguity is not there.
Okay. Could you perhaps take that and make it more active and send it to Mary? Jonathan, your mic's off again. And then I'm going to...
Yes,
Jonathan, can you... Okay, thank you. And then Cheryl?
Sorry, Cheryl Farrigal. Thanks, Jay Scott. I just want to draw attention to my note in the chat. Why not refer to Chatham House here? It's a good rule, it's bog standard, and it's also one that most of the group in ICANN, when we've gone in camera, that I've been engaged with, default to anyway. Thank you.
Okay. So you're saying rather than... when there is an extraordinary event, they should at least have to use Chatham House rules. In other words, it's confidential as to who says what and what attribution is, but the general subject matter of what was discussed by the group would still be transparent.
Absolutely.
Okay. I think that that's probably a safer way to go in the environment we live in. Especially given some of the trade negotiations that have gone on that have had absolute secrecy and has really pissed off about 9,000 million, 100 billion people, at least to give people sort of a sense of what's going on so it doesn't look like some sort of, you know, coup de grace or star chamber. Mary, is that your hand again?
Yes, and this time it's a new hand. So
okay.
As with the first section, the language here does come practically word from, I believe, the working group guidelines. And there may well be a good reason for us to be more specific here or not. But on the first point of the presumption of full transparency, I understand what Jonathan is saying, but that is literally from the working group guidelines. So there may also be an argument for consistency between our different sets of documents. In the second sentence, the language there also comes from the working group guidelines, except, of course, there it says it's up to the working group in coordination with the chartering organization to propose a set of rules and procedures. So it may be that here you could, if you wish, insert the Chatham House rules as an example rather than as a fixed methodology. So I just wanted to raise those two points, Jay Scott.
Okay. Well, here's what I would suggest is we do what we want to do, and then we can have that discussion of whether we need to have consistency at the end of the day. I say we get it the way we want it to be. I see no reason that we can't improve on what is in the working group guidelines if we feel like it's an improvement. It may require that we go back and then look at the working group guidelines and make them consistent and work backwards, because we're always working to, as we learn, to improve and better ourselves. And I see that Stephanie Perrin has said in the chat, clarity is better than consistency in my view, and I would agree. I mean, we're not going too far afield, and a little color detail, I think, is probably a good thing. Okay? C, unless I hear any other comments or see other hands go up. No. Okay, Steve, J. Scott again for the record. The GDD project manager will lead the meetings of the IRT. Any comments or thoughts? Okay. I see Cheryl agrees. I think that's fine. I think that's exactly the way. It's a much more efficient way and to make things work. Michael Graham agrees. Okay. So 5D as in dog. If there is a lack of participation resulting in meetings being canceled and or decisions being postponed, the GDD project manager is expected to explore the reasons, parenthetical, for example, issues with the schedules of meetings, conflicts with other activities or priorities, close parenthetical, and attempt to address them, parenthetical. For example, review meeting schedule, close parenthetical, period. However, should the lack of participation be deemed the result of IRT members seeing no specific need to attend the calls as they are content with the direction the implementation is going, ICANN staff can continue the proposed implementation plan as long as regular updates are provided, including decisions being taken on the mailing list and deadlines for input are clearly communicated, period. Thoughts, concerns, red flags, yellow flags, green flags? Cheryl sees she's fine with that. Anne has raised her hand.
Yes, thanks, J. Scott. It's Anne. I'm just curious about the language, is deemed to be. Who's supposed to deem it that way? Should it be like staff in consultation with the GNSO liaison? Who's deeming?
As I read it, that means that's the situation as it exists. So the community would deem it. Because you read this rule and it says, well, they've looked into all this, but nobody's participating, so it's deemed that they're happy with it so long as the other things are happening. It's not a proactive decision made by anyone. It's a matter of convenience. Okay. Jonathan Frost, I think your hand is an old hand, so if it is, if you take it down for me. If it's not, I'm going to call on you. Okay, then it's Michael Graham.
Yeah, I'm just wondering about this. It's sort of like a fiat lux. Shouldn't the IRT be asked, whether or not they have any concerns or not, rather than it be a matter of attendance that's sort of puts it into a murky area for me, and I don't see why that's being provided for. The long and the short of it is I sort of agree. If there's no problem and people aren't showing up, then they can deem it's no problem. But shouldn't the IRT be asked, do you have a problem with anything that's going on, or are you fine if we don't call a meeting now, rather than it be something that's determined by lack of attendance? I'm just a little bit concerned by that.
Okay, thanks, Michael. What if we leave in the language about the lack of participation, and then we say that the GDD will issue a email to the list, telling them that there's been a lack of the participatory levels are such that it's deemed that they're okay with everything, and they're going to, here's the plan for now, and they won't have meetings, they're going to do the following thing. So there's some sort of notice put to the IRT's mailing list.
This is Michael again. Yeah, I think that would be fine, and ask for their input if they believe otherwise.
Okay. I see two hands have raised. Stephanie Perrin is raised, and then Karen Lent. Go ahead, Stephanie. We can't hear you. I see that your microphone seems to be turned on the Adobe Connect, but we're not getting any sound. If you'd like to type it into the chat, I'm happy to read it to the group. I'm going to move on to Karen Lentz.
Okay, thanks, J. Scott. And I think to Michael's point, it's no problem to add a statement that there should be some sort of status inquiring of the IRT if they have any feedback on how the meetings are going, and if anything is conclusion is to be drawn from the lack of participation. I think what we would want to avoid is just a sort of if people aren't participating in the meetings, they're not necessarily going to respond to a notice like that either. And there's, you know, the members don't necessarily have to wait for staff to ask if there's a problem, if they believe that there's a problem with how things are going. So I wanted, you know, I think it's helpful to perhaps add a, you know, notice step like that. But I don't, I'd be concerned if it was a showstopper, if no one ever, you know, if you never get a response to that, then you're sort of...
I wouldn't expect you to get a response, Karen. Okay. This is Jay Scott. I would just expect it to be a notice. So it's not sort of like we move into a different stage by some sort of passive non-response. I think if you send a notice rather than saying, well, we took a thing, we looked, the meetings are all careful, everyone's able to, they're just not coming, I think everyone's a little concerned that we seem to be drawing assumption from that rather than if you say, listen, here's where you are, it looks like this is why no one's participating, everyone's happy, so we're going to do these following things to keep you informed. If you haven't objected to this, object.
Right.
If no one objects, then you just proceed as it's outlined. That's how I sort of saw it going. But I see Ann's hand saying yes, or check mark saying yes. I see Mary's hand is up again, too.
Yes, Jay Scott, and I think your suggestion would probably be helpful because just for everyone's information, even though we don't have a whole lot of IRTs to draw on, what we've seen from the staff side is that for various reasons, we don't always get responses. We don't necessarily know when people are going to be absent for a significant period of time. So to the extent that the IRTs are viewed as a partnership between the staff and the community, as I think we all believe they are, as Karen says, we don't want things to be held back. So your solution may very well be helpful because we just wanted the folks on this working group, some of whom are not on IRTs, to know that this is a problem and we're hopeful that these principles will try to resolve some of those problems.
I agree. And I think putting out a notice is, I mean, it's similar to any kind of, you know, public notice. They do it in legal actions. They do it in, you know, anything. They post things in communities everywhere, and you look, you know, it just is something for people to react to rather than an assessment that's silently made and you move forward. Okay, and I see we're getting some green check marks here, so I think that that's a way we'll go if we could just insert something about a notice in there so we can look at that language maybe at the next call. Okay, now we're going to E as an eggnog. Notice I'm being seasonal with my alphabet. Should there be disagreement between the proposed implementation approach proposed by ICANN staff and the views of the IRT or any of its members, the GDD project manager, with the support of the GNSO Council liaison if appropriate, should make all efforts to resolve this disagreement. Should the disagreement remain, the GNSO Council liaison is expected to make an assessment using the standard methodology for making decisions as outlined in the GNSO Working Group guidelines, whether there is at a minimum consensus in the IRT that the issue should be escalated to the GNSO Council for consideration. If the GNSO Council liaison makes the determination that there is consensus for such escalation, the following procedure applies. Okay, here is my comment. I get what you're saying, but that is the kludgiest thing I've ever seen in my life, and I will take it and try to make it clearer. I know what you're trying to say, but I got lost halfway in the middle of it. I think it's just not a friendly read, and that's all that needs to happen. Are other people agree or disagree? I see Ann agrees. I mean, I get what you're saying. I just think it needs to be a little bit tighter. And I'll take that on and circulate that to the list. Only because that's what my general counsel is making everyone do at work with our contracts, and so it's a good exercise for me. As a typical lawyer, I only take on work that's beneficial for me. I'm teasing.
Good point.
Oh, I'm making myself laugh alone in my room. So, okay, is everybody comfortable with that? I'll circulate it to the list, and then we can decide whether it's the revised language we want to include. Looks like that's the way to go. Okay. So, that has taken us through five. Mary, you're going to have to help me out here because I'm wearing new bifocal contacts, and the agenda I just can't read. Michael, your hand is up.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, then, are you also, or what's being worked on the to-be-defined portion of this, which is going to be the process that gets followed after that?
Well, you know, I can take a look at that. I think Cheryl would say that, because she worked with me on the working group guidelines, that you can take that sort of methodology, that framework, and I think you just need to change some of the wording and make it appropriate for this. But I think we had an entire escalation set out in that, if I'm not correct, Cheryl. And a whole step of how it would go, like an appeal, and so we can. I'm happy because I chaired that working group with the fine help of Aubrey and Cheryl to get that done and look at those and see if we can sort of give you something for next time to stimulate thinking.
Yes, Michael, again, real quick. That would be excellent. I was just looking, and I figured that there were already procedures that we could adapt for this. And knowing those from the work group, I think that would be really appropriate. Thanks.
Okay. Anne.
Yep, very quickly, J. Scott. This is Anne. When you're doing your little rewrite that's going to make it clearer, I want to question the use of the word escalate. I almost think we'd be better off with review or consideration.
Yeah.
You know,
do me a favor. Send that to me in an email because I will forget it, or
okay,
I will write
sure.
another piece of paper on my desk and throw it away.
Will do.
That's just how it is in junky office. Okay, that's a great idea. Mary, can you help us out with the agenda a little bit? Because, like I said, I can't read it.
Sure. And of course, because we have this charter questions 3, 4, and 5 in here, because I think a few meetings ago it was agreed that these are all interrelated, and there were further subpoints added as the discussions continue. So apologies that the agenda tends to get a little cluttered and therefore the small font. But just to bring everybody up to speed with where we are, knowing that a few folks were not able to make the call last week, where we are now in the agenda is agenda item 3 in terms of a main topic, and with the bullet points or the sub points there, we are talking about how the IRT is expected to operate and its decision-making methodology, which is charter question 5. That's the second bullet point, and that goes to Michael's question, I guess, as to the to-be-defined part and how far we can get with that. Last week, the group also started talking about the next the next one or two bullet points, in particular, the additional mechanisms, if any, that should be foreseen for implementation-related discussions beyond those that take place with the IRT. So, for example, how should feedback via public comments, when those public comments relate to proposing policy language, how to handle those things when that is the stuff that comes back through public comments? And Cheryl and others were on the call last week, may remember that we spent a little bit of time on that. And Jay Scott, I don't know if you'd like me to go through a little bit of that discussion or just pick it up from here.
No, I would like you to go through a little bit because, unfortunately, as I said, I had a little problem getting to the recordings. I will have them under my belt by next week. But thanks again, Terry, for resending them to me.
I think and Karen and others, well, I'm sure, you know, correct me if I'm sort of going off track here, because they have a number of experiences with the IRT that I haven't as a staff member. But I think one of the reasons why this came up is that the IRT plans for implementation do often get put out for public comment, and then public comments may sort of go back and revisit, you know, the policy language or suggest changes that actually go back to the policy. So one of the points that was discussed last week is how should this be handled at the IRT level? One point that was made was that even though the IRT is led by a GDD project manager, there is almost always, in fact, always a policy staff member who is attached to that team, and it's generally the same policy staff member or members that worked on the initial recommendations. So what we found has been useful is, to the extent that sort of thing happens, that there is a discussion within the IRT and then with the staff members involved, and if the IRT is able to review those public comments and then to say, well, you know, we looked at this and here's why we decided the other way, you know, that would be, that's the way that's been handled and that might be a good way to handle it. So the question was whether that could be the way or should there be some other way. Jay Scott, does that help?
Yeah, very much so.
And if I can add, I think one additional point that was brought up, I'm sorry, I forgot to include this in my summary, is that sometimes what happens is by the time we're in this phase, you know, there's been quite a time lag between when the policy recommendations were first adopted or proposed and where we are now. So obviously there's, you know, been, there'll be a turnover in folks and the original working group may have long been disbanded. So even if one suggestion is to say, well, it makes sense to go back to the working group, that may actually not be practicable in some circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to have to come, this is Jay Scott, just for the record again, I think we have to come to the realization that the whole point of having an implementation recommendation team is they may, in certain limited circumstances, have to operate as a mini working group to handle issues like this. You can't always go back to the, I mean, it's just kind of silly to think we're going to try to go back, reach back a year and a half and put all these people together. I think that that's just sort of unworkable, and maybe we need to handle it. But if I'm being a heretic here, please someone speak up. But I'm just thinking, that's why you have an implementation recommendation team. You know, if you need to, the one thing that they probably need guidance on is if it's not reflective of a broad sector of the community, they might have to go out and get some other people from the community to serve in on those discussions to make sure that they're being as transparent and as open as we're supposed to be. But I don't think we have to go back and start trying to find the archive list for who was on this thing 2 years ago. And that's my personal perspective. Anne, I see your hand is up. Do you have a comment here?
I'm sorry, that's an error.
How about Cheryl? You've done this for a while and chaired several groups. You have a comment?
Cheryl here for the record, Joe Scott. You've got me with my eyes fading.
You're fading just a little bit. Could you step into the phone or something?
Oh, well, I'll do my best. How's that? Any closer?
There you are. You're better. Better.
Okay, right. I'm actually eating my mobile phone now, but that's another story. I've got my face on because you wouldn't want it to be too enclave. It really does need to be, I guess, if you've got an effective liaison and an active liaison, I am comforted and supportive of what you've said. If you haven't, however, there's a little part of me that still worries a tiny bit. It may very well be, for example, that for very good reasons, implementation review team is heavily manned, personed by specific industry interests. That's okay, but the optics from, pardon me, those who would get concerned about that, if it gets too much back into policy redo, there's a little alarm bell that rings. So I'm comfortable providing all the other catches and specifically the ability of the liaison is working. In the absence of that, well, I guess you'll have to look at it if it happens.
Okay. Thank you very much, Cheryl. I think that's valuable input and something I hadn't thought of except to briefly say that, this is Jay Scott for the record, that if there wasn't broadly representative implementation team, that would have to be handled before they could, you know, make any policy. I see that Jonathan Frost has raised his hand, and then I'm going to call him Mary.
Yes, this is Jonathan Frost. This is not completely original to what Cheryl just said, but I wanted to point out that if the team that's on the IRT isn't a legacy team, the situation where the IRT is going to be needed is usually going to be a point of conflict. And a dispute about differing interpretations of policy. So they're going to be they're going to be competing interests in this situation. So both of the interests are they might try to stack the deck. So I mean, if it's a volunteer team, then there should be I would say fairly strict rules of broad representation.
Okay, thank you. Mary.
Thanks, Jay Scott, and thanks, everybody. And again, one issue is that...
Notre correspondant vous a mis en attente. Il va vous reprendre dans quelques instants.
Okay,
the other party put you on hold.
Okay, fine.
That wasn't me. My French isn't anywhere near that good. but what I was going to say is that because it was noted, I think, in our working group that each and every IRT can differ considerably because of the nature of the recommendations, the scope, and so forth. And the other point is that a lot of these things, ideally, we want broad representation. Ideally, we want at least one representative who was on the original working group, and the hope is that we will get there with most, if not all, of our IRTs. And here, I guess, we're sort of sliding also into the next bullet point, Jay Scott, I was going to say, because there's also this question of flagging of potential issues to the GNSO Council. And the example that we use, where public comment actually relates to the policy, and Cheryl brought up what's the role of the liaison, and then, like I said, this goes to the next bullet point. It may be worth us going back to the original working principles document, as I think that was called, that this group developed initially, and I can't off the top of my head remember what it says, but it may be worth pulling that up and looking at it and see if we can either make a reference to that in here or in some ways develop that a little bit further, either here or in the original document.
Okay. Well, all right. Jonathan, is your hand still up, or does that need to be pulled down? I'm not hearing anything. I'm going to assume that the hand's been put up. Okay. Here's what I suggest we do. I think at this point, we have such a small group here. I know that needs to be considered, but I'd like to have a bigger discussion about that. So if there's no objection, I think we've got some takeaways from today's call for consideration for next week. And I would suggest that we stop today here, our 12 minutes early, with the understanding that we'll come back and discuss about the few language changes. I think Jonathan owed something to Mary and the list, and I owe something to Mary and the list. And I'll try to get that out hopefully by the end of the, if not before the weekend, at least by the end of the weekend, so everyone will have 2 or 3 days to consider it for our next call. And then we can come back and have this call, and hopefully we'll have folks back from Germany and broader participation, have a more in-depth discussion about some of the rest of these issues. Is that acceptable to everyone? Okay, I see Anne has raised her hand, and Cheryl and Michael agree. Anne.
Yes, Jay Scott, I do agree with that, but I'm guessing that we might get through that part of the next meeting with less than the entire meeting, and I wonder if staff could remind us what is our deadline for input on the draft guidance process and expedited PDP process, which Mary sent out, I think, on the 12th. And will that be on the agenda for next time? Because if it is, I just want to raise that for everybody to make sure they take a look at that.
Jay Scott, may I?
Please do. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, not at all. My Adobe screen seems to have frozen, actually. actual policy.
Adobe never freezes. Adobe never freezes.
I didn't say it was Adobe. I said it was my screen, J. Scott. I've been having all kinds of laptop problems, as my colleagues will attest this week. So it's definitely not Adobe. Don't worry. But what I was going to say in response to Anna, I think that's probably something that staff would want to take back to the chairs. One basic question, obviously, is that we do have a number of these other bullet points to get through, all of which are somewhat interrelated and all of which go back to charter questions 3, 4, and 5. So one option is to keep going with the IRT operating principles, finish this document, and finish these bullet point discussions. The other thing is that we sent out 2 of the 3 process documents, and so we're going to send a 3rd one out very soon, probably this week. And we probably want to time it such that people have enough time to think about and give input, as you have done, Anne, and as Chuck has done, for 1 or 2 of the documents. So I think we might want to take this back to the chairs, and hopefully, J. Scott, we can do that as soon as possible with you and Chuck on email so that we can let the working group know as answers as much in advance as possible.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's great. Okay. All right. So with that, you now only get 9 minutes back. I try to be generous, and life just marches on. So I'd like to thank everybody for their time and remind everyone that we have a call next week that will be Wednesday, November 26th at the same time, which is 20 UTC. So I hope everyone will join us so that we can continue discussing those provisions that will be modified during the interim, and that we can move on with our discussions and then answer some of the questions that Anne raised at the end of our call. So with that, I'm going to bring this call to a conclusion. Thank everyone for their time, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye. Thank you, Scott, and congratulations again. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Mary. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.